We've been in Exodus, and we will continue in it for probably several months here. As we kick off today, I'm in Exodus chapter 3, and I want to title it, A Common Bush with Extraordinary Fire. You know, it's interesting to me how many people can tell you why they're doing what they do, why, who or what encouraged them to become what they became. A teacher can probably tell you there was a mentor in their life that encouraged them and said, you'll be a great teacher, and therefore they became a teacher. But if we were to turn to Moses and say, Moses, why did you do what you were doing? And why did you feel called to that? I believe that Moses would most likely point to this event recorded in Exodus chapter 3. He would probably say that this is why he is doing what he does. He would tell you it all began when there was a common bush burning with extraordinary fire. And not only that, the bush, he's going to tell us, talked to me. The account in Exodus 3 is a great story with some valuable lessons, I hope, for us. So let's go to Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. It says, Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Let it be living, active. Lord, may it train us in doing what is right. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Are you glad for his word? Amen. Now, I want to help you get a grip on some of the timing here. It's kind of easy for us to read the first three chapters and think that everything in those few chapters took place kind of quickly. But that's not what happens. In fact, the Christian martyr, Stephen, who is in the book of Acts as a preacher, it recaps the story and gives us a time perspective as he does so. In fact, in Acts chapter 7, let me read some of it to you. It says, At that time, Moses was born, and he was no ordinary child. For 3 months, he was cared for by his family. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful, and I want you to say this with me, powerful in and powerful in speech and action. I want you to kind of lock that back because later on we're going to hear Moses say, I don't talk so good. And you need to understand his training, his setup is powerful for those first years. In fact, when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian. So he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them. But they did not. Next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, Men, you're brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other? But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday? And when Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. Now, from this passage, we now know that Moses is 80 years old when he sees this bush on fire. Now, in our Exodus passage, it told us that Moses went to the far side of the desert. He came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Now, Horeb may be the name of a mountain range, with one of the mountains in that range being Mount Sinai. Now, this is the place where God is going to give Moses the law, and that's later in the story. But Moses is out with his sheep, and he notices a bush on fire. Now, I don't know if this is a common event or not. Some talk about bushes catching on fire in the desert and all of that, but I don't know. But this was an uncommon event. In fact, it was a unique phenomenon. The bush was on fire, but it wasn't being consumed. It wasn't burning up. So Moses is intrigued by it. It goes over to see what the story is about the bush. When he gets near it, a voice comes out of the bush. In Exodus 3, verse 4. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Now, to me, it probably doesn't take a lot of imagination that if somebody's talking to you out of a bush, it wouldn't take you real long to take your sandals off and obey, you know? I mean, this is weird. Or you would run, right? One of the two. But why did God tell him to take his shoes off? Certainly, if his shoes were dirty, so were his feet, you know? So what's the difference? Maybe it was because taking off your shoes was a sign of respect. It still is in other countries. I know when we were in Canada for serving there for 5 years, and we would go to someone's home, it was just proper. We walk in the front door, take off your shoes, and then many of them had little slippers you could put on, and it was just the culture, and it showed respect. Perhaps it's equivalent to a man taking off his hat when he goes indoors or removing your hat for prayer. It's that kind of respect. Maybe God was teaching him to respect, maybe. Maybe God was asking him to remove his shoes because the shoes represented where he used to walk. It represented his life, and Moses had picked up a lot of junk along the way. And now it's time to leave that history behind and remove that and to step onto different ground. Me personally, I have really tender feet. In fact, I was in the Boy Scouts, and one of the levels you reach is called tenderfoot. I never got past tenderfoot. That's just where I was. Still have tender feet. And when I remove my shoes, I have no protection, and I have to walk gently and carefully. Maybe God was beginning to teach Moses that you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to walk gently and carefully. In fact, you can't just stomp around anymore doing what you want to do. I don't know what the lesson was. I don't know if it was respect and reverence. Maybe it was the spiritual lesson and removing the shoes and removing the past. Maybe it was the protection that he needed to trust the Lord. But the key was obedience, listening and obeying. When you hear the voice of God, church, I tell you, you just need to obey. He goes on in verse 6 and tells us more of the story. Then he said, talking of God, God said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. I don't know about you, I probably would have done the same thing. In fact, many times in Scripture, people respond this way. Isaiah, when he saw God and recognized him, he recognized his own failures and in fact, the shepherds, when they heard the announcement, they were afraid. Mary was afraid. And the angels many times have to say, "Do not be afraid." You need to understand that God is so awesome, he is intimidating. He should be. You get in the presence of God, you ought to be a little intimidated, because who are you? There may be even more to it, though. When we see God for who he is, when we see his purity, when we see his goodness, kind of a light should come on inside our hearts, and all of a sudden we begin to see sin for what it really is, and we kind of feel like, "I don't deserve to be in this kind of presence." And many times we shrink away at that and we want to hide. But I want to tell you today, because of Jesus and his work on the cross, you have been invited to spend time in God's presence. You no longer need to be afraid, because God has come to reconcile you unto himself and give you relationship. In verse 7, the story goes on. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that, out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites and Hittites and Amorites and Perizzites and Hivites and Jebusites, all those ites. But he says, and now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. It's a great story, and I can't wait to continue to walk through it with you. It's filled with all kinds of details. It's an incredible slice of history. But what can we learn just from this passage today? And I have five life lessons I want to go through with you real quickly. So here we go. Number one, desert times are times of preparation. Desert times are times of preparation. For 40 years, Moses is in the wilderness. 40 years. I could not imagine. I'm 49. I could not imagine at this point in my life going into a desert for 40 years. But by this time, his call comes. He's 80 years old. It might have seemed that the best years of Moses' life were wasted. Remember, he had 40 years of training in Egypt. He was confident. He was powerful, filled with energy, had ambition. That seems like that's the perfect time for God to use him, for Moses to make his mark for God. But it's not. God needed a different kind of person. He needed someone who would be dependent upon the Lord, not dependent upon his training. One who was confident in God's promises rather than his own ability. God needed a servant, not a celebrity. There's so many times, and I've seen it in the church, people want to be a celebrity and not a servant. Church, it's time for us to serve the Lord with gladness. So Moses ends up in the desert for 40 years. And you need to know those years were not wasted. They were years of training. Please understand, Moses probably didn't understand why he was in the desert. In fact, at this point of the story, Moses doesn't even know what lies ahead. All we know is that God was waiting for Moses to get ready. God knew the state of the Israelites, but God is giving Moses time in preparation so he can do the job the way it's required. And now, think about this. Maybe you've been in a desert place. But have you ever thought maybe you're in God's training camp? You really don't know what God is doing, and you can't see any purposes and the circumstances and the situations that are around you. But could it be that God is getting those circumstances and working through those to get you to look at him? It's possible that God is working in your heart. So many times we can get ahead of God. It's important that we get our hearts ready for obedience. That's where we need to live. Another thought about the desert is maybe you feel like you're past your prime. You claim, maybe you said, I'm too old to serve the Lord. Well, you need to remember Moses is 80. He's just starting. Could it be that God maybe spent your whole life preparing you for such a time as this? Maybe the Lord's putting you in a better financial position to serve him more generously, or maybe he wants to use you in a more full-time role. Maybe you've been learning skills that he's getting ready just now to implement in an incredible way in the days ahead. Just because you're older doesn't mean God is finished with you. You need to stay ready, and like Moses, you need to say, when you hear the voice, here I am. When God speaks, be ready. No matter what age you are, young or old, because we find in the Bible, from young to old, he called them. The key is to be ready and respond, here I am. A second lesson I believe we can learn is that God knows what's going on. In fact, you need to say that one. Say it. God, you believe that? God knows what is going on. Let me go back to Israel for a moment. He knew what was going on in the land. Listen, he says, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries and distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I'm aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt. For 400 years, the Israelites have been in Egypt from the time Joseph and the family came. But most of that time, they've been enslaved. Their babies have been killed. Their freedom has been restricted. There must have been times when the people were wondering, doesn't God care for us? But the Lord tells Moses, I've seen it, Moses. I've heard their cries, and I am concerned about the situation. And now I have come to rescue them. I know in our own lives at times we wonder, why the delay, God? Why is all this going on? You need to know God knows what's going on. God has his reasons. And I know that one day when we finally see why God does what he does, we will bow in wonder and praise of that. Because then we will understand it. But God knew what was going on with Israel. But we ask the question, does God know what's going on with me? Does God know what's happening in my day, in my time? Absolutely, church. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our past. He knows our potential. He knows the pain that you go through. He knows what's best. He knows when you can be used most effectively. God has not been deaf to your cries. He's preparing to come to your aid. In fact, there's no better example of this than Jesus Christ coming into the world to save you. God saw our situation. We were like sheep without a shepherd, and he came down in the person of Christ to rescue us. The timing was perfect. The offer of salvation was incredible and has been proclaimed through the world. God knows what we need. He knows where we are. He knows how to help. And our job is just to kind of turn to him and know that he has provided everything we need. It's our job now just to place our confidence in him and what he wants to do. But so many people dig their heels in it and miss out on God. You can dig your heels in or you can run to his open arms. You can argue with God or you can just rest. I know I had to deal with that with my brother just in this past week. It's like, God, why? I could just rest and go, God, I get it. I trust you. And the choice is yours, church, how you're going to live. But you need to know God knows what's going on. And that teaches us a third lesson. We must be ready to see God where he chooses to reveal himself. Church, sometimes God reveals himself dramatically, and sometimes he doesn't. In the case with Moses, it's a burning bush. For some people, it's an emotional experience they have. It's a vision they have. Maybe it's a dramatic opportunity that comes their way. And when these things happen in our lives, we need to pay attention. Moses could have turned away, and he could have written it off thinking, I'm just seeing things. But that's not what he did. Instead, Moses moves forward to take a closer look. God doesn't always speak, though, in dramatic ways. Remember the account of Elijah? Elijah, he was exhausted, and he felt that the world was against him, and he runs off to the mountains, and he ate some food, took a nap. But in 1 Kings 19, it tells us the story. The Lord said, go out and stand before me on the mountain. The Lord told him, and as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by. And a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Often, God speaks to us just in quiet whispers. He can speak to us through the words of a child, a song, a sermon, a book, a gentle whisper to our hearts, maybe the counsel of a friend. The key is for us to be ready when God does speak, when God does reveal himself. When God desires to reveal himself, it is time for us to be ready. And not only ready, a fourth thing we need to do is when God speaks, we must listen. When God speaks, we must listen. Moses turned to the bush rather than dismissing it. If we're going to be led by God, we have to train our ears to listen. In order to do this, there's several things. One, I believe we have to approach God reverently. I believe we need to get before him. Moses could not hear unless he respected the one who was going to be speaking. Unfortunately, reverence has disappeared in the church. I think some of it is due to arrogance. I think some is due to the casualness about our relationship with God. Church, when we act that way, it shows a lack of respect for the Lord rather than the admiration he deserves. Church, we need reverence once again in our lives and in our church for God. This is a time for him to speak to our hearts. I don't know why you came. I hope you didn't just come to listen to me. I want you to come for God. This is his time. In church, I'm in a day that I'm trying to understand what God is doing, but I grew up in a time, and like many of you maybe, I went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and every other church event. Man, we were there. I don't know that I liked it all the time, but I was there. And it was in those times and in the amount of times I believe that God was able to speak. But church, many have put church on the back burner today. We don't have church on Sunday nights anymore. Many have said, well, Wednesday night is just too busy. Life is just too busy. Church, when are you going to let God be God in your life again? The world has a lot to offer. But church is burning up. It doesn't mean anything. And somewhere we've got to get our attention and our reverence back for God. To let God speak to our lives. I don't believe he just does it at church. I believe he can do it at home through his word and through prayer. But we've got to get reverence once again that God is everything to us. I believe another thing is we have to be humble enough, though, to be instructed. As long as we have it all figured out, we don't need to learn. We need to realize that God wants to speak to us, but we have to humble ourselves. And however he chooses to speak, we got to put away our pride and we need to listen. One more lesson, one final one. We've kind of looked at Moses, but what about the bush? A common bush with extraordinary fire. Interesting that God spoke to Moses through something so common, just a common bush. But God placed his fire in that bush and used it in an extraordinary way. Church, the same can be true for us. We're just common, ordinary people. But God wants to put an extraordinary fire inside of you. God wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. He wants to put a fire of truth in you. If we would only be willing, God would set us afire and use us in ways we never dreamed possible. In fact, he desires for us to be his holy ground, his temple. But we have to turn to him in faith, complete faith. Today, I believe there are many who have not responded to God's call. Pastor Matt, would you come? There's a lot of people who still have yet to respond and listen and turn to God's direction and say, God, what are you saying? There's a lot who have missed opportunities to burn brightly for him. This past week, I was on my way home. And church, I'm learning to just, they're just doors. And we stopped at a Cracker Barrel on our way home to have a supper. And I was standing at the register. They usually ask, or they did. They said, are you passing through? Yeah, passing through, heading home. They said, where were you? And church, that's a door. Why? Because I'm going to tell them where I was. In fact, I was in Tennessee, and there was a funeral for my brother. Of course, immediately they're like, oh, we're so sorry. And that happened. Door. Because all of a sudden, I can tell them, you know what? Yeah, there's sorrow. But I told them, I said, you know what? I said, but my hope is in Jesus. I really believe that the cross was enough, and my brother's in heaven today. I'm watching these two ladies, and typically if they're believers, most people go, well, I'm a believer too, you know. That's not what they said. In fact, they said nothing. They're just listening. The church, I can live Christ wherever I am, just looking for those doors and just share it. Sometimes you plant, sometimes you water, sometimes you reap. Church, it wasn't a reaping day for me, but I let the Holy Spirit do the work. Church, we have got to live in such a way that I'm looking for the bush. It was open. It was speaking. I just began to talk back. Church, there's so many things that we need to know. And we're just common people. Just common people. But there's an extraordinary fire in each of us. An extraordinary fire that people go, how can you live that way? Because there's a fire that doesn't consume me, but leads me. A fire that comes into my life and helps me know the voice of God. See, God's just waiting for us to say, here I am, thorns and all. Just a bush. Some of us are thornier than others. You ever ran into a thorny bush? You ever ran into a thorny person? Nobody wants to answer. But we know the Bible tells us that we shape each other's lives. In fact, we're like stone, rubbing stone to knock off the rough edges. But that's God using us. But if we would really let the Lord come in, he kind of burns the thorns off. He burns off the rough edges. But he uses us and does not consume us. God can use us, whatever our past may be. God has come to redeem us. Moses could have said, it's all done, it's all finished, I'm too old. I've lost my training, it's just been too long. I'm just a shepherd now. Just common. But God's about to take a common shepherd who has some training in him, but he's about to use him in a powerful way. Church, the Lord about 7 months ago dropped this in my heart that I was to walk through Exodus with us as a church. I was asking God, why Exodus? We've done Romans and Colossians and other parts and other lessons. But God just simply said there's two parts. One is the whole part of the Exodus that he would bring us out. But the whole point of bringing them out was to take them to a spacious land, was to give them a land flowing with milk and honey. Church, God has redeemed our lives, and I believe we're in a crucial season for this church. I really do. I don't believe it's a bad season. I just believe we're in a crucial time that God is saying, that's where we were, but let me take you somewhere. And church, I want to be listening. I don't want to have to go through 40 years because there's going to be another 40 years that these people are going to spend in a wilderness. I don't believe we need to be in a wilderness for 40 years. That's why we're going to learn the life lessons. Because God has delivered you from Egypt. And we're going to talk about this more. And God is saying, I got to get Egypt out of you. The world is our Egypt. And it infiltrates our life. But God is ready to change the filters of your life so you can begin to hear God more clearly. But I believe that God is taking us somewhere. But some of these lessons I've got to learn is that when God speaks, we need to listen. If it's dramatic, then it's dramatic. If it's soft, then it's soft. Whatever it be. But then I want to hear. I want to respond. I want to be reverent again. When we come in here, I don't want to come in here just thinking this was church. This was just an hour of my life or an hour and a half that I gave to God. Church, you give your life to God. It's your whole life. This is just one portion of training on one day of the week. That's all. It's the first day of the week. It's appropriate for us to gather and remember our Savior and our Lord that he died, but he rose again. Yes. But it's also training. Say, God, teach me your ways. Show me your ways. In church, We're just a common church. There's nothing spectacular about us. People in the community may look around and there's larger churches. And many might say just a common. But when God puts his extraordinary fire in the common, it's no longer common. And church, we are a Pentecostal church. We are filled with extraordinary fire. And I do not want to miss that part. We are not just a church. We are the church of the Lord. We are the church that God is going to use in these days ahead. I'm not afraid of what's to come because Jesus said, he said, when you see the end approaching, and by the way, Jesus said, you'll know it. You'll know it's coming. And church, I sense we are nearing the end. And I'm telling you, you don't need to be afraid. Jesus said, tells you, don't be afraid. And he tells us of some terrible things that are to come. But we are the church. It's no longer time for us to tolerate what the world says and what the world does. It's time for us to stand up for the Word of God. It's time he's pulled us out of Egypt and he's taking us somewhere. He's about to use us, I believe, in a powerful way for his glory. It may not be powerful in what the world sees, but it's powerful in what God sees. As we are just obedient to do it. So church, I'm asking you to listen in these weeks. You're going to have to take them all. If you've missed any of the messages, go back. It's a new beginning, church. It's a new beginning. Every day with mercy and grace. Pastor Matt, thank you for that new song this morning. I don't know if everybody caught the words, but it says, crowned from glory to glory. That's talking about us. He's already crowned with many crowns, but he crowns us with glory to glory. He's changing us from degree to degree into more of his image, the image of his son. He's changing us, church. And I want us to live for him like we never have before. He's called us to walk on holy ground. Did you know when you leave this place, the holy ground is not here. The holy ground is here. You take it with you. Wherever you walk, it's holy. When I step here, it's holy. It's not this, it's this. So church, we've got to live in a place where I want to live holy for the Lord. Why? Because where I go. So when you walk into your unholy workplace, guess what just walked in? Holiness. I'm telling you, church, you've got to see yourself from God's perspective because he's changing Moses. What Moses' attitude used to be to what God's heart is now. He's about to redeem a people and change them. There's a lot of junk, though. But you're holy. You're holy. You're holy. You're holy. Your sins have been washed away. The enemy will lie to you, but you need to hear you're holy. You're holy.